Let's give them some more love. Thank you. Good to have you here. So this is the first of the month, and because we're doing the same theme with a lot of our Centers for Spiritual Living, we start out the first of the month always with our spiritual leader, Dr. Ken Gordon. So let's run Dr. Ken.
Hi, I'm so excited. This is the 2017 theme that we're rolling out this year on the value-based living. And the first Sunday is by myself, January 1st, which I doubt seriously very many of us will actually use because we have got our own little celebrations that we keep in mind for this time of year. But my theme is, how do you live a value-based life? I'll share with you honestly is that this teaching, in my opinion, is a core value of authentic being, that it's all about being authentic and true. And to do that, it's important that we learn what our values are and that we live to our values so that we can express them in the world around us. When we do that, what we find is that we find that we attract into our lives and into our experiences everything that's required in order for us to be able to be real in the world around us. Authentic living doesn't mean authentic to what we think we are or who we think we are. It means being authentic to our own core truth, who we really are, which is the individualization of God. A true estimate of real values cannot be built on the shifting sands of time alone. In the long run, the merciful will obtain mercy. In the long run, we shall reap as we have sown. Which for me really indicates that when we live our lives from our authentic being, what happens is we reap back into our experience that which is required for us to be the best and the greatest that we can be. The desire you have to be something, to do something, is a mental echo in your mind of the spirit which already exists within you. It is an impact of your divine and spiritual self upon your mental or psychological self. It is the spirit in you seeking an avenue of expression through you. It is the real self you would like to be, the deep spiritual self, having all knowledge, having access to all power, being one with life. This is the self that can heal the sick and raise the dead. It is a transcendent, triumphant self. When we talk about how to live a values-based life, what we're talking about is how to be authentic.
Talking about how to be authentic. So this is the first day of a new year. A whole new beginning. Actually, every moment is a new beginning. New and fresh, right here, right now. All is God and all is good. That's right. That's right. With every breath, let's just breathe together. With every breath, we're new. Every moment, new. We get to choose. We choose. So I breathe. I breathe in the new and the refreshed. The new me, the new you. With every breath, new you. Ah. Wait a second, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, so let's get a little clearer here. In 2017, we'll be discovering how to live our values. So what is a value? See, values are, with respect to excellence, that we think is excellent about us or about what's important to you is a value. Values we regard with high esteem, an aspect of us, a way you wish to live is a value you would like to emulate. Living from that high importance. That high importance that is yours, that is what you choose to be and live and emulate. Living from and in that core of truth is living a value-based life. And we ask ourselves this morning, what is of high importance to me? What is of high importance to you? What do you value that enhances your quality of life and living? Give yourself a moment and think about that. What fills your heart and lifts your soul? This is a great question for each of us to ask. Because in truth, we're going to be working on this all year, 2017. We're going to discover our values, and they're going to change, and they're going to grow, and they're going to become larger. What do I value? You know, I value love. I value trust. I value faith. To treat all of life as a blessing from God. Now that sounds really good, doesn't it? But there are times that I say, oh my God, why is this happening? But in truth, as I look at it, as I open the door to what is this asking of me, the blessings abound. I love the, sacred reading for this month, and is also in your takeaway. Yes, everybody's got their takeaway put in their pocket. Yes, thank you. And it starts out with, I have absolutely nothing better to do with my life than become who I was born to be. Breathe that in. What does that mean to you? I have absolutely nothing better to do with my life than to become who I was born to be. Faith. It's a gift from God. And so, my true self, that part in us, the adventure of self-discovery is what we're going to be doing this year. What we're going to be doing every Sunday, and we're going to stay open and available to that is calling our name, to live from and in the adventure. It's an adventure. To be the best ever. And I have a story that tells you about that. However, I left the story in my office. So everybody breathe and think of your value that you are choosing. As I, you don't see this, go find the story. And it's truly worth waiting for. I love who I am. Highly skilled and trained not to fall into a puddle of tears. You know? It's good. It's very good. As I stood up here and I opened up my packet of information that I have worked on so diligently, I go, oh, shoot. I forgot the story. But it's well worth it. So here's the story, and some of you maybe have heard it, but it's worth repeating. A water barrier bearer in India had two large pots, one hung on each of a pole which she carried across her neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of a long walk from the stream to the mistress's house. The cracked pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots full of water to her master's house. The perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it had been made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it didn't have the ability to accomplish but only half of what it was there to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be a bitter failure, it spoke to the water bearer one day by the stream. "I am so ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you." "Why?" said the water bearer. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because of the crack in the side of me causes the water to leak out all the way back to the mistress's house. Because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value for your efforts," the pot said. The water bearer felt very sorry for the old cracked pot. And in her compassion, she said, "As we return to the mistress's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot took a look and noticed that the sun was warming the beautiful wildflowers on the side of the path, and this cheered it some. But at the end of the trail, it still felt bad because it had leaked out half of its load, and so again it apologized to the bearer for its failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you notice that those flowers are only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I always knew about your flaw, and I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day, while you walked back from the stream, you watered them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers and decorate my mistress's table. Without you being just the way you are, she would not have been able to have the beauty graced in her house." So the moral of this story is, we're all cracked pots. Each and every one of us are cracked pots. But notice that the light that's shining through the crack is who you truly are. And if you were here last Sunday and were able to be with us in the circle of coming into the Christ consciousness within us, you know you are the light. I am the light. The light that I am. We're all cracked pots. So let's begin this year with loving our cracks and notice the light shining from within us is true of each and every one of us. I am the light I am. To be our best, to like who we are, no matter how cracked we've been, no matter what mistakes we've made, it has great value. To know the blessings and the joy of life, no matter where we've been or what we've done or who we are, has such importance. And so I'm going to invite us this year, and especially today, to take ourselves lightly, to take ourselves with the light, and to recognize that as we take ourselves lightly, so does God. There's no judgment. And when we live from the value-based life, we know when we come up short and we can always correct our course. It isn't permanent. It isn't the end of the world. I used to think it was, but I realized it's not. I'm still here. So when we live outside of our divine nature, we forget who we are. And we live from the effects. We look outside of us for our identity. Effects never tell us who we are. We tell the effects who we are, and we define ourselves and describe ourselves by what we see outside of us or what has been said to us or done to us. I personally know this to be true. Early on, I got sidetracked. I got sidetracked with other people's ideas and opinions as to who I was. I was excluded, and I was left out. And so by being taught that, I excluded myself. And I grew up wanting everyone to know their value. It was so important to me. And I said, even as a little girl, a four-year-old, I said, that's okay, they don't love me. I will just love them. Because I thought that was my job. That I wanted everybody to know their unique self because I could see it. And to learn to love their cracks. You see, I value love. However, loving myself was the hardest part. The thing that I had to learn. And my story is that I studied really good and I took these classes that we're talking about. But what I didn't do, I could love everybody else, but I couldn't love myself. And this one day, I'm walking the creek, and God said, there's only one thing that you can be asked, if you're asked that at all when you die. And I said, oh, really, what is it? I thought for sure this light of truth would come barreling down on me, and I could be lifted up forever. And God said, the only real thing that you could ever be asked is how much did you love yourself? I don't know about you, but that was very difficult. Because what I realized was that, yes, I was able to love other people, but I wasn't able to love myself. And I even then really argued with God. I still do every once in a while. And I said, I will do anything. I will do more clients. I will do this. I will do that. I started to bargain, but don't ask me to love myself because I don't know how. Anybody relate to that? What I got in that moment was an opportunity to understand that that was the thing I had missed. That I wasn't really truly loving other people because I couldn't bring the whole self of me into the circle of life. So I realized in that moment that the spirit of life was asking me to love myself, and I didn't know how. And I thought I'd gone to other people to ask, how do I do that? And I never got the right answer because there was always something wrong with me that didn't quite fit. And they were very happy to let me know. So I realized in that moment that the only place I could go is to God. And I said, I don't know how. But through all these studies and through all that I had learned, I knew that God loved me, but I hadn't stepped into it. I hadn't totally accepted it because I didn't feel worthy. So God said, give it to me. Give it to me. Whew. I've been still giving it to God. Because when it comes up to something that I question about myself, I say, okay, God, here it is. Here's what I doubt. Here's what I fear. Teach me to love myself and teach me to receive love and bring it in. And love this part of me that up until now has been unlovable. And in my early days, Spirit was gracious and kind. And I'd say, I don't know how to love myself. And I'd get confused, and I'd go to my bookshelf, and books would jump out at me or fall on the floor. I'd be immediately pulled to it. And the book that I was pulled to all the time, this is probably my fourth one of these. My books fell apart. Because in the beginning, I got angry. This is the book, This Thing Called You. If you want one, put your name on the list. Meg will help you today. And it's by Ernest Holmes, our founder. And I'm going to open this up. It's well-loved, well-marked. And here are some of the things that I would read. And I realized that I had to change all the you's to I, every one of them. Because when you read sacred text and it says you, read it please as I am, I am, I am. There is a pattern of perfection at the center of my being, which has never been touched by disease or misfortune. My intellect senses this, through intuition. My imagination feels it by divine right. My inward consciousness knows it through faith. What I am trying to do is to awaken my whole being to the spiritual awareness. I read this over and over and over again until finally I could say, I am the beloved place where God shows up. This is what, in my opinion, we're each asked to do. So another one that I love is, this would call me on it, stop blaming anyone or anything, persons, circumstances, or situations for what may be happening to me. This is futile. It is a dead-end road. It is a blind alley. It is a raft adrift on an ocean of uncertainty. Today, I am going to take my life in my own hands, realizing God is ever with me. I am going to identify myself with goodness and with joy. Straight thinking is going to do this for me. Straight thinking may not be the easiest thing in the world, but it is possible for anyone. Let's take that and breathe that in. Breathe it in. I'm guaranteeing you, I guarantee you, that if you will learn this process of loving yourself, and if you need help, take the class of foundations. We have to commit to constantly turning to that truth, no matter how bad we think our cracks are. And we have to read until we feel the shift, the glory of our own personal divine self. I'm going to invite you today to be brave, to love yourself, to dare to discover the magnificence of who you are. God makes no mistakes, so there can't be a mistake in you. And take time to question your thinking. Does this that I'm thinking affirm life for me? Do my values coincide with the life that I choose to live? Am I blessing life, or am I pushing against it? And lovingly ask yourself that question, and then choose again, and choose again, until your choice lifts your soul. Am I blessing myself, or am I annoyed with myself? Remember, the light within you is greater than any condition or any situation. I guarantee you we are each individual expressions of the divine. And we all need help at times. We all need help to know who we truly are. I still turn to this book. I still ask it, what do I need? Teach me. Help me to learn this in a greater way. I guarantee you, loving yourself, coming back to your own divine self, gets easier and easier. It's easy for me now. It wasn't. But now it is. I guarantee you that for you. That part of you waits for your love. Value yourself first. Because what I've found and what I've discovered is when I value myself first, then life values me and miracles happen. Life changes around us and we don't have to make it change. We just have to be who we truly are. So I invite you to know you're a cracked pot and to be really proud of it, okay? So let's take that into prayer. So we just stop in this moment, and we know that there's a greater truth beyond our history, beyond our past, our circumstances, our situations. For there is nothing but the truth that is one life, one power, one all-inclusive, all-loving presence. I call this God, the infinite, the divine, the beloved, by whatever name. There is only one life, and that life is God's life, and that life is my life now. I am the beloved place where God shows up, and from this place of truth and knowingness, I, Maggie, know that I speak the word of God, and it is my pleasure to know this truth for each and every person here today. And that those family and friends that can't be with us today, I know right where they are, God is. Because there's an infinite source of love, an infinite source of divine intelligence. And I know and accept that where there is a need, a healing is taking place. It is touching hearts and lives, and it is renewing and strengthening. And anybody that you bring to mind right now that needs that prayer, that needs that knowingness, just open your hand and say, okay, God, this one's yours. And trust that that divine loving presence that is within you and surrounds us and is the very breath we breathe is that that ignites the healing that is taking place. I know this. I claim this truth this morning and greater yet to be. And so greater than what I can speak in words, I know is already taking place in the mind of God. I trust that. I know that to be the truth. And I release my word into that ever-living, loving law of God that always says yes, returning to and through each and every one of us, multiplied, magnified, spilling over. We are full of it. We're a cracked pot that is full of the divine presence. We let it be so. And if you're in agreement with me, please join me in saying, and so it is, and so it shall be. Amen.